Today's Perek in Tanakh is Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Dalet. So what we learned yesterday was the remarkable story of the lion, the hotel, and the entire sense of illusion that was involved in the disillusion of the Malchut, in which everything was constructed out of Bada Melibo, and the Malchut itself ended up being an expression of that Bada Melibo. So it was an artificial construct, which itself is the ultimate irony, because Yeravam's taina, after all, against Shlomo, is that religion is always coercive. That's what it boils down to. So it's not only that Shlomo is the Beit HaMikdash. If you look into it more deeply, his taina is that you got everybody working, and you got everybody paying taxes. And you know what? They don't want to. So who wants that kind of Beit HaMikdash? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us a Mishkan, he went ahead there and stood with whips over people, he said, anybody whose heart is into it should give. If your heart's not into it, you don't give. Comes along Shlomo, and he makes this, now the entire nation is going to be working for 4 years, and paying taxes, and going out there, 30,000 people, they're going to be doing all of this work. I mean, that puts the Mishkan, that makes the Mishkan look like a child science project compared to the Manhattan Project. This is absurd. Because what it boils down to is always the problem of Kaf Aleihem Har Chagigit, which was the problem that created the ego in the first place. What an irony. So therefore, I say, says Yeravam, I say, let every man bring his own carbon himself and have your bummer wherever you like, pay next door, Beit El, Dan. And we can add them, as we'll see in this part, we can add them wherever you like. And this way there's no coercion. And of course the ultimate irony is that he ended up recreating the ego for everybody, where he was claiming that was the whole problem, and the only solution he was offering was the retrogression into the things that he claimed he was coming to deal with. See, his society was a far more absurdly religious society than Shlomo HaMelech's was, that's for sure. So that the problem of Shlomo was that it stretched the envelope, not that it was coercive, but that it forced people to recognize the extent at which you can imagine a Malchus going and ultimately incorporating all of the earth and all of these nations and all of Africa and all of the things that you think are out there in the Arabian Nights. It's all part of the Malchut. That's not coerciveness in the same sense as feeling the Kaf Aleihem Har Chagigit.
Rebellion was because you're asking Rehavam, you're asking for too much taxes, right? So we're out of here.
No.
Even before Rehavam.
Wait, that's what
The rebellion begins with Yeravam's brilliant idea. He's the one who led the delegation. What's his brilliant idea? The people do not want in any way to be married against Malchus Yehuda openly. They're not thinking in those terms. So therefore, I need to find the smallest opening by which I, with the same brilliance as Shlomo, recognize that Rehavam is not smart enough, not melech enough, to know how to respond. And therefore, the one thing I do know is that what's wrong with the whole Shlomo enterprise is that it's too coercive. We always pointed this out, that this is that the George Harrison song. Forgive them, Lord, those who think that they can't afford you. Okay, I want to have a Beit HaMikdash, but I mean, couldn't we keep it like the Mishkan? The way it was before, it was Shiloh, it was great. You know, that's Achiyah HaShilani, great. I'm willing to go to that. So he recognized that whatever element that was coercive in Malchus Shlomo was going to be expressed in the coerciveness of the Beis HaMikdash, which expresses the coerciveness of Har Sinai, which was originally experienced as Kaf Aleihem Har Chagigit. So he knows, he's supremely, exquisitely sensitive to all of these historical currents, which is why it goes, as we said, it goes back to Peniel, and it goes back to Dan, and to the original Yerusha and Shechem, and the way that Beit El was the original vision of the Beit HaMikdash. The guy is brilliant. He utilizes every last old religious idea to touch Yisrael where it counts, and to make them feel comfortable and at home with what they really want. I pointed out that the Zionism does exactly the same thing. Creates an entire vision of, well, we've always wanted to be in Zion, to be a free and independent country. What? Yeah, it sounds right. You know, of course, that's what we always wanted. I'm saying, all, in other words, all of these, what you want to do is you want to touch. Don't we want Yishevaretz? Yishevaretz is great. Give to Keren Kayemet Yisrael. It's all about Keren Kayemet Yisrael. Is that Keren Kayemet Olam Haba? It's Keren Kayemet Yisrael. Okay, so give that. Every little touch, right? It's not Yizkor, it's Nizkor. A slight difference. It's also good, you know. It's Mim Alel Gvurot Yisrael. It's not Mim Alel Gvurot, but it's very close, you know. It's a brilliant approach. People are very, very easy to respond to religious kind of feelings. You're talking to primitive people. They don't think you really mean it when you say Nizkor. People are silly, but that kind of silliness is what you get people in with. So he's brilliant in this way. Absolutely brilliant. Right? So just like Zionism was immensely successful only because it built on the back of a absolutely stunning sensitivity. That's why now it's so ridiculous, is people don't believe it anymore. Initially, the people that set it up were themselves exquisitely sensitive to where they had come from. So they were able to use all of those feelings. They put the right pictures on the postcards, and they had people that were thinking about their grandfather when they would give money to the Kakal and so on and so forth, not realizing they're really giving money to strip children of religion and to create a Chilul Shabbos and an entire chinuch system that would end up with Israelis the way they are today and so on and so forth. They think they're building the future. Right? So this is exactly what Yeravam wants to do. Let's build the future. To build the future, we need to really touch your emotions. You remember Yaakov Avinu's ladder? Where was that? You remember the malachim that came? You remember the haftach of Zeshara Shamayim? You remember the problems that were in Har Sinai? He's redoing all of that. He's doing everything wrong, Shlomo. Okay, he knows that he could touch them in that way. I'm saying the irony of that is that it ended up being the very thing that he's claiming is the problem, ends up now regressing into the original problem. It takes them back to the ego. Going all the way back to Yosef, you would add to all of the issues that supposedly had been resolved. He reopens by supposedly dealing with them. He doesn't deal with them, he reopens them. That's the stunning irony in the end of the whole story. So if, with the historical awareness, you're really, your life's like blown away by this. This is an unbelievable story. And it's amazing how contemporary it is, how usable it is, with exactly the same results. Exactly the same results. The new freedom and the ability to be in Eretz Yisrael and to build all these old cities and to get back to your roots and get into the archaeology and the rebuilding and so on and so forth serves one purpose. Not to have any Beis HaMikdash, not to have any Malchus Shamayim, not to have any commitment to Avodas Hashem, and that's exactly what it does. And it works like a charm. You have all this great excitement and this nationalism, this wonderful feeling, and two generations later, people have forgotten anything. So, to continue, the stunning thing that came out at the end of the parak yesterday was the brilliant move of Yonatan, Moshe's grandson. The truth is that the original Nevi'ut had already taken into consideration Yonatan. Because the Navi, Ido's original Nevi'ut, had already taken into consideration the elements of Yonatan. Now, what we noticed of Ido is that as he speaks, it develops. Because the way that Yeravam talks to him and wants to make him eat is the first time that he exposes any sense that this place is kaput and it's a naughty brahi to eat in there. I mean, well, what if he wouldn't have invited him to eat? So none of that would have been said, apparently. So it was a developing Nevi'ut, so to speak. You say what needs to be said as your message is not getting across. Now, one thing that clearly did not get across is, so when is this going to happen? Next week? I mean, that's what he made it. This is the oath, and you're going to see the Mizbeach, and it splits right then and there. So I guess like next week they're going to be burning the bones of Yeravam on it. I mean, we're thinking 300 years? Nobody thought 300 years. Where is the only time that we thought in the pasuk about very long-term effects? Pesoniha. Vayisham ad glot haaretz. My God, that's exactly what he was talking about. And it's the same person. The same person that the Chazal is. But how could he possibly have survived that long? It's wild. Okay, the question is, did he merely come to make that happen? In other words, did we really need Yonatan's interference here to make it 300 years? Because the Gemara actually, Tainas, and who says, Because the Gemara talks about whether it's a raya, that all the things are destined, and that the dor v'dorsha means that Yoshio, and Menashe wasn't even born yet, and we're talking about Yoshio. Says the Gemara, who? And if it wouldn't have been, maybe it would have been a different Yoshio. Who's to say it's that Yoshio? So in other words, the open-endedness of that Nevi'ut, and the implications that this is all over now, and that Ben, it will be Nolad, maybe right today in the hospital with the name of Yoshio, and he'll grow up, and then that'll be the end of this whole thing. Micha, Pesel Micha, is there to create a tolerance level, and this is what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Created a tolerance level, which was the makor of the Mishkan, in which, Lama Hashem Yechrabcha Be'amecha, and Halo Balechtecha Imanu, and it's all, that is what Moshe Rabbeinu did. And that's the Mecheni Nomi Sifrecha Asher Katavta. He was Meiser Nefesh to create an unbelievable level of tolerance in which Pesel Micha, built by the guy that he pulled out, the guy who fathers Yeravam Ben Nevat. I mean, it's unbelievable the way Chazal see all of this interrelated. He allows for a Atzeret HaShvatim and a Malchut Yisrael, which is an absolute disaster, which continues the involvement with Pesel Micha 300 years. Beyond this state. That's unbelievable. So it could be that his involvement, the old Navi, and the way in which the consistency of his point of view, the end in which he says, it's going to happen, let me tell you, it's going to happen. What is he saying? It's going to happen. He's the guy that screwed up the whole thing. What do you mean it's going to happen? Because that was Pesel Micha all along. Remember all the medrash about Yonatan, where anybody would come to worship Pesel Micha, would make a joke out of it. He would say to them, "Nu, so who's older? You or this Pesel? How old are you? 35, this Pesel 7 years old. What are you crazy? You're gonna be?" And so on and so forth. And he'd make a joke out of it. And even when people asked him, "So what are you doing there?" He said, "It's good money. They're paying you. They're paying me. What are you doing with this?" Well, so what was he doing? And this is absolutely crazy. And he goes back to Moshe. He says, "Yes, Moshe said this is a good job." It's a wild story. So that means that what he was trying to achieve was lay off the heavy-duty stuff. Nobody really believes in this garbage anyway. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, in the end, says that that's true. Because he says, Gadol Shmi Bagoyim, and the Gemara asks, what do you mean, Gadol Shmi Bagoyim? They're all worshiping Yashke Pipik and all kinds of crazies. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, but in the end, they know that it's really me. They don't take this stuff seriously. But that's what Micha's been saying all along. This is the message of Yonatan. So that means it's this attitude towards Avodah Zarah that came out to be the twist that Yonatan was applying to what Yeravam was doing. So they have an egel, but what do you think the egel is? Come off it. I mean, nobody takes this seriously. But you're asking whether in the end, whether this is sustainable? Of course it's not sustainable. When I die, make sure I'm buried with this guy, because this guy, I had to do what I did, because otherwise what he said would have been so destructive against Yisrael. But this is my brother, I'm telling you now, Hoyachi. This is not a joke. When he says Hoyachi, he tells his children, bury me in the same grave as this guy. It's because he knows there's only one serious person around this insane place. This guy. So, you know, when it comes to the end, I want to be with him. I don't want to be with any of you creeps. That's good for what he's saying. At the same time, I need to do what I need to do. I need to change the impact of that Nevi'ah before it destroys everybody. So this is classic, going all the way back. Mamish Tatzilo Itzalta Sabecha. The loss of the kahuna by Moshe Rabbeinu, which is exactly what happens over here. That's, it's an unbelievable historical current that fits right in with the irony of Yeravam, you see? Because it's going back to Mitzrayim. It was there the whole time. And this is what it was that Shlomo was expressing, that the only real Yetziah b'Mitzrayim is the Beis HaMikdash itself, not the Mishkan. These things are tremendously interrelated. So the rebuilding of a Mishkan is going back to Pesel Micha, almost by definition. It's the other part of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, today, we get to, really, the end of Yeravam, which is the not the expression of the full Nevi'ut that we had yesterday, but what happened in the years to come in the period of Yeravam's lifetime. So, Ba'etahi, the last thing we saw is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grabbed Yeravam by the collar and said to him, do teshuva. That doesn't necessarily mean anything more than this event, you understand? Because this event is that. Such an idiot. I'm grabbing you by the collar. I'm sending you a Navi. I'm giving you the rachamim of giving you back your hand. And what are you doing? It basically means he's stuck in his acher. That's the point. So now, ba'etahi, chala avia ben yiravam. We pointed out that he even calls his children Nadav avia, essentially. Similar to Aaron himself. So avia, now avia was the only one in the family that was meiser nefesh to do what was right. And according to the Gemara, he personally used to go up from the Moadim to the Beis HaMikdash against his father's wishes. And according to one man, the Amar, he was even mevatel, the watchman. He would go up and say, okay, you're excused, and would bring thousands of people with him. So the Pardisio, that he had been Ma'amid, the Shotrim, that his father, Yeravam, had been Ma'amid, he got rid of them with the kayach of being a prince. They listened to him. He was the one who got ill, because only the good die young. Vayomer Yeravam le'ishto. So Yeravam, who's desperate, he knows there's only one place he can go. And that's the man who gave it all to him, and that's Achia Ashilani. And he's his Talmud. He knows that certainly Achia is not going to do him any favors at this point after the wreck he's made. But he's hoping he can wheedle a bracha out of him if Achia doesn't know who he is. So he tells his wife, Kumina Vishtanit, put on some other clothes and put on some kind of wig. Veloyedu kiat eshet yiravam. Don't let anybody know that you're my wife. V'alach shilo, hinei sham achia hanavi, hu diber alai lebelach alam. You know, my entire makor is only from him. So, I mean, he's clearly the Navi Emet. He's the connection that I have to whatever I have. And if we hadn't seen the continuation, we would have thought that he only wanted people not to know that he had sent to Achia Shiloni. And not that Achia shouldn't know, but it's clear from the coming psukim that he wanted Achia not to know who she was. Now maybe he didn't make that clear at the beginning. He said, lo yedu kiat eshet yiravam. Obviously, it would be terrible if people thought he was a weakling and going to these religious guys to ask them for their help. He's going to Navi Hashem after he's done all of this. V'lakach biyadecha sara lechem. Bring a gift, 10 lechem. The nikudim are these popped grains that they then grind into, they used to use klayot to make teglach. And a bakbuk dvash. Ubate lav, go to him, tell him you're a woman who has a sick child. He'll tell you what's gonna be. Vataz keneshet yiravam, vatokom vatelach shilo. Vatovo beit achia, she's coming into the house of achia. He couldn't see. He was blind at this time. Kikam enav misevo. He was old. And we learn out from here, Kosh umamid ben rasha, o talmid rasha, sof she'enav kehot. Because Yitzchak Avinu, it says, kam also enav kehot, vatechena enav. But that's only because he was mamid l'rasha, Esav, ben rasha. Achia shilon, what everybody who's old is kam l'rov. It's because he was Maimina Talmud Rasha, which is Yeravam ben Nevat. Hashem had already told him in advance. You're about to be approached by Yeravam's wife, whose son is ill. This is what I want you to say. She's coming into the house, and she is at the time masquerading, pretending to be somebody else. Obviously, Yeravam didn't want Achia to know who she was. Felt that Achia maybe would curse her. So Achia hears her footsteps. So he shouts out, "Boi eshet Yeravam." Lamazat mitnakira. Why are you pretending to be someone else? Vanochi shaluech elayech kasha. I have very bad news for you, and I have been sent to you. And surely you understand that I'm going to know that it's you. Lechi imri liyiravam. Go tell Yiravam that I'm not supposed to know who you are. Ko amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael. Ya'an asher harimoticha mitocha am. Ve'etencha nagid al ami Yisrael. Because I lifted you up from among the people. made you now a leader and a king. Ve'ekra'at ha'mamlacha mi'beit David. I'm even worse. I tore up the malchus from Beit David. Ve'etne'a lach. You were supposed to be a tikkun. 36 years of tikkun for what had gone wrong. V'lo ayita kavdi David asher shamar mitzvotai. V'asher alach acharai b'chol levavo lasot rak ha'yashar be'inai. You know what David was like? Keeping with his entire heart. Coming after me. And even that wasn't good enough for me. V'tora lasot b'chol asher ayu lefanecha. You've been worse than anybody I ever had to deal with. V'telech v'taaseh lech alohim acherim u'masechot lahachiseni. Me, you throw behind you as if I don't even exist. This is, again, in context. Yerovam doesn't sound so bad. I mean, who's Kol Asher Lefanecha? What? Shlomo, Rechovam. I mean, how bad are they? Kol Asher Lefanecha. You were not like David? Asher Shamar Mitzvotai. So listen to the way Chazal understand the pasuk. Oti Oshlachta Acharei, Hishlachta Acharei Gavecha. Halach Lamaisa. Somebody who eats before davening, says the Gemara in Brachot. Oti shlacht achrei gavecha. What's achrei gavecha? Achrei geyecha. Al tekrei gavecha legeyecha. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, la'achar shenit ga'eze. After he's all busy with his own needs, he's eating and he's drinking. Kibel olav malchut shamayim. Now he goes to daven. So we see that the level, the way that the understanding of this pasuk can be lefia madrega. A guy can be the most tremendous shemra mitzvahs too, and still have big bechlal acharei gavecha. Putting yourself and your absurd needs first—that's what you did. That's what it boils down to. And that, of course, is part of the acher gavecha, achar hadvarim ha'elo, mi rishon. Who goes first? That's the issue. And ultimately, it could come down to, is it me or you, God? That's the same. Achare gavecha.
The other line is,
excellent. Lachin, hineni mevi ra'al beit Yeravam. And therefore, I am going to bring evil on the house of Yeravam. Ve'ichrati li'Yeravam mashtin bekir, atzur ve'azuv be'Yisrael. Uviarti acharek beit Yeravam, kashe yiba'er hagalal atumo. And therefore, I will wipe out for Yeravam anyone who urinates on a wall. Now that could mean many things on the simple level. It's even the dogs of the household of Yeravam. Others learn males, children, that use any local wall for urinating on. But there's a Targum Yonatan that is amazing. He translates Mashtin Bakir as Yeda Mada. Anyone with the brilliant minds, it was Mashtin Bakir, someone who is Meshit, says Rashi, he puts ideas into Kirat Libo, which of course becomes the time of Kisiyo, where he turns to the wall, Elakir, Elakir, which there the Gemara says El Kirat Libo. It puts this straight in line with the Maisim of Yeravam and Rechavam. Remarkable. So a Mashtin Bakir, in a sense, when it's talking about Yeravam and the great philosopher Yeravam, it takes on a double meaning, which is, of course, reductionist. All your great thinking and all your great ideas as far as being a bunch of pissing on a wall, that's all that you're doing, because it's meaningless in the end. Atzur v'yazuv v'Yisrael. One who may have had somebody to hold him, to help him. Well, it ain't going to be there anymore. I will continue to make certain that I uproot and completely destroy anything that's left of Yeravam. The way Yiva'er HaGalal HaTumon, of course, that's a fantastic pasuk that every school child knows from learning Baba Kama. That's Kasher Yiva'er HaGalal HaTumon becomes the Mishnah. Hamav'ir v'hev'er. What is that, for heaven's sake? So we darshan, according to Amad Yomar, shame. Why is it shame? Kasher yiva'er ha'galal atumo. There's a machlokas rishonim what that means. And indeed, it's a machlokas that gives us two different insights into the pasuk. Kasher yiva'er ha'galal, one meaning of the word galal, is even galal, ivory essentially, or marble, which in the mouth we call marble is the equivalent of the ivory of the shein. So kasher yivare hagalal, the way that the shein completely eats something else. Ad tumo. And by the way, this is the makor of the difference between a mechaya karna and not mechaya karna. Ad tumo. It has halachic implication. The other meaning is, kasher yiva'er, that which is the source of consumption that turns into galal, which is excrement. So the way in which the tooth turns food into garbage, that relates back to the Targum Yonatan, in which we take your thoughts and turn them into urine, and we take your grandeur and turn it into galal, the two elements that are excreted. Hamet liravam ba'ir yochlu akilavim. You're a great guy. Anybody who dies in your family in the city will be eaten by the roaming dogs. Hamet basadeh yochlu of hashamayim. Let the birds finish off the flesh of those of your family that die outdoors. Ki Adonai diber. This is the Nevi'ahs that I was told to give you. And now the good news. The good news is, v'at kumi lechila beteich. You can go home. And you better go home. That's a command. That as you come into the city, your child will die. But the good news is, v'saftulo ko Yisrael v'kavru oto. He, because he's a tzaddik, he'll at least get to the grave. This is the only one who will be brought from the Beit Yeravam into the kever, into the kever of Yeravam. In other words, Yeravam will be buried. Ya'am nimtzabo davar tov. There was something good about him, and that something good, as we mentioned earlier, was that it was El Adonai Elohei Yisrael. Smack bang in the middle of the Beit Yeravam, he had the guts to stand up against his father and see to it that he went to the Beit HaMikdash and encouraged other people to go, or at least made it possible for them to go. Veikim Adonai Elohim Melech al Yisrael, and God will make himself a king that will be over Beit Yisrael, who will make it his business, asher yachrit et Beit Yeravam zayom, and he will become now the one who will uproot anybody born to him from this day on, umegamata, not to mention the ones that we're talking about right now. It's what is and what will be. We'll come to a bitter end, that I can promise you. V'ikadunayet Yisrael kasher yanud hakaneh b'mayim v'natashet Yisrael mi'ala adama hatova hazot asher natan la'avotehem v'zeiram me'ever l'nahar. And this will be the curse on them, that they will now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will now take Yisrael and break them as the reeds are woven. They're just thrown about by water that comes rushing down, grabbing them and taking them off of this wonderful land that I gave to their fathers, spreading them out all the way on the other side of the Nahar. Yan asher asu et asherehim machisim et Adonai, because they too participated. It's not just him. He opened up the door, but the floodgates were open and everybody took advantage of it. They all made themselves their asherot. Vayitein et Yisrael, and he will do this to Yisrael, biglal chatot yiravam asher chata, vasher hechati et Yisrael. Because of the fact, not only was he chote personally, but he was a machtiat harabim, and a machtiat harabim has no teshuvah. The machtiat harabim now, he becomes the model of machtiat harabim. So that, as I pointed out, the Rambam uses him as the model. And who is he contrasted with? Who do you think? Moshe Rabbeinu. Because that's the involvement here of Pesach Micha. He is, on the one hand, Tzaddik Moshe, that represents everything that could be. Or he could be a Rasha, Ki Ravam. And the Gemara points out a beautiful thing over here. Shlomo HaMelech himself says in Mishlei, Ne'emanim Pitzei Ohev. Somebody who loves you may bust you up, but at least it's Ne'eman. But it's nauseating to be kissed by your enemy. Ne'atarot neshikot sonei. And that's tova kilala shekilelach yashilani. At Yisrael, this klala that he cursed them was much better than the bracha that Bilam gave them. We saw originally the relationship of this to Bilam. Remember, imyiteinli tatzibe. This whole thing revolves around that. Achiyashiloni called them a kona. So what's a kona? Kona ultimately can survive anything. Because all of the floods in the world can come over the kana. The kana simply bends. Einan mezizototo mimakomo. What are you going to do to a kana? You can't do anything to them. So kol ruchot shebaolam, it passes. Omed hakana bimakomo. It's exactly where it was before. Nothing really harms it. Ultimately, Mashein Kain, Bilam compares them in his brocha ka'arazim. Oh, That's great until the storm comes. When the storm comes to an Erez, it completely uproots the Erez, and Engizo Machalif, and that's the end of it. It can take one blow, and it doesn't have Sharshav Berubim. So it's true. Kol Ruchot Shebaolam come, they can't do anything. But once there's that big, the perfect storm, that's the end of it. Okay, so Okarto, Fachto, Panav, and that's what happened. Achia gave them the bracha to be like a kona, the klola to be like a kona, which in the end is a bracha. Better that than the great bracha of Bilam. Fatokom Eshet Yiravam. And she was a good woman who did what she had to do. Ratelech Batavot Tirtzata, she went to Tirtza, which was the Ir Melucha, until Omri built Shomron. And he, Ba'ah B'saf HaBayit V'nar Meit, as she walked into the house, which could be, says the Metzudas, maybe the house, because he said to the city, not to the house, maybe the house was the outermost part of the city. Other Mepharshim say, actually the boy had died as soon as she entered the city, but the coal only came out as she was entering her house, that it was known that the Nar Meit.
And this is her Rahmi?
And
it lasted a little bit longer? This is her son?
Yeah.
Why does it say that?
No, that's the whole thing. He's trying to hide the Eshet Yiravam issue. Vayikvru oto, and indeed they buried him. Vayispedu lo kol Yisrael kidvar Adonai, asher diber b'yad avdo achia hanavi. V'yeter divrei Yiravam, asher nilcham, v'asher malach. As far as what he did, who cares? I mean, if you want to, you can read divrei Hayomim. Ninam ketuvim. But in terms of Melachim, and the idea of Malchut that points out the failures, that you could find in Divrei Hayamim, but here we're not going to tell it to you. I'll just read Divrei Hayamim, the Malchut Yisrael. Vayamim asher malach yiravam esrim ushtayim shana, vayishkavim avotav, and Aviah is gone, so all that was left was Nadav. Vayimloch Nadav beno tachav, and meanwhile Nadav became the king to be after him. But meanwhile, Rechavam ben Shlomo, getting back to the ranch, he was malach b'Yehuda. Ben 41 shana Rechavam b'malcho. He was 41 years old when he was malach, and he was 17 shana malach b'Yerushalayim, ha'ir asher b'char Adonai lasum et shmosham mikol shiftei Yisrael, which was the only reason. Because otherwise, says the Medrash, we know who he is. We know who Yerushalayim is. So what it's coming to say is, he wasn't really hagun to be a melech even on Yehuda. The only reason that he was there was because he was zocha, because of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had chosen Yerushalayim and had given the haftacha to David, who was the ir David. Therefore, he became lama nisharam lucha, so to speak. It was only Bishvil Kvod Yerushalayim. That was the only reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu put up with the way that Yehuda was also. Because he too, as it says in Divrei Hayamim, he too was no good. It says, Vayike Achin Malchut Rechavam, when he got set up, Ukechezkato Azav et Torat Hashem v'cho Yisraelimo. As soon as he was put into position, he too was worthless. Vayaz Yehuda Rabbeinei Adonai, they too did the evil in the eyes of God. Vaykanu oto mikol asher asu avotam v'chatotam asher chatao. There was the fact, say the Mepharshim, the fact that Shem Imo was Na'ama Ammonit. That Shem Imo Na'ama Ammonit was the reason that he too failed. It is because the Mekor was not completely Tahar. Of course, that's not so clear because the Shtei Benot Lot are Ammon and Moab. Na'ama Ammonit, we say, because of the fact that Ammon was the younger daughter, and who waited now, she waited one more night before sleeping with Lot. So that her whole malchus was nitcha with these doros, arba doros, basically. So the mother was Na'ama Ammonit, only her son was over to malchus. Vayivnu gam hema lahem, they too in Yehuda built also. Bamot, umatsevot, v'asherim, alkol giva givoha, v'tachat kol etzranan. So they too were the ones to be bone, bamot, asherim, matsevot. Vegam kadesh haya ba'aretz, they too were nichshal in znut. They asu kikola to'avot ha'goyim ha'shorish Adonai mipnei b'nei Yisrael. And the entire basis of the Yerushas Ha'aretz was to be not to follow in the paths of Canaan and Mitzrayim. And here they had set up also whores throughout the land. Vahi bashana chamishit b'melech Rechavam Allah Shishak Melech Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim. And so much for all the great plans of Shlomo, who was convinced that he had Mitzrayim on his side. Why is he called Shishak, says the Medrash? Because all of the years he was Shokek U'mitaveh. When do we get rid of this Shlomo so we can come and take it all back? And so according to that approach, he really is Paro. According to the other approaches, he's not Paro, he's another Malchus that was Doicha Paro. But again, it's the same thing we find by Yosef. Lo Yadat Yosef, either it is the same, it's not the same. But the point is, he was hoping always to get it all back to Mitzrayim. And indeed, says the Gemara, that there were three things that went back to the way they had originally been. All of the money of Mitzrayim, which Klal Yisrael had taken out of Mitzrayim, which had been brought in the end, through Shlomo, went all the way back with Shishak. Etakol akach, as we're going to say. The luchot, the ktav that was on the luchot, was chozer, because Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ashparim la'inehem, 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 where that you saw the otot flying up into the shamayim. And the other one was Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was sent back to Bavel, where they had come from. And you can see, of course, all of three issues here are interrelated in this parable. Vayikach et otzrot beit Adonai, and he went and he took all of these incredible things that Shlomo HaMelech had made, that David HaMelech had set aside for the otzrot. We're talking about now dorot of planning and convinced. It's all set up. V'yatakol lakach. He took everything, even the kisei. And that, the Medrash says, that's what he was waiting for more than anything else. He wanted that kisei. Hachaviv minakol, as Rashi puts it. Shlomo's kisei, amazing throne. He took it all. And vayikachet kol meginei zahav, you're talking about all the money in the world put into those tremendously impressive shields and armor of Zav, Asher Asah Shlomo, everything, it all disappeared within a few years. Shlomo Melech prepares all of this. Nah, within a few short years, it's all gone. All the planning of taking Bat Paro, having peace all around the world, no Satan. It's time for us to spend our lives building the Malchus. Nothing left. How sad, Vayas HaMelech Rechavam Tachtam Meginei Nechoshet. Oh, boy. As the irony of Rechavam saying, oh, yes, my pinky is more powerful than my... Yeah, right. So now all of the beautiful things. Well, I too have beautiful meginim, and they might be made out of brass, but you know, at least they shine. So again, the whole power and fantastic or magic of Shlomo is reduced here to props. So he makes meginei nechoshet. Who needs meginei nechoshet? V'yifkid al yedei sorei haratzim hashomrim petach beit hamelech. It was all for his own covet, you know. The exact opposite of Shlomo. Vayidi midei bo ha-melech beit Adonai, when he would come to make him feel a little better. Yisa'um ha-ratzim, they would carry them and make it look like everything is flashing and smiling, and it's all a Potemkin village too. Veshivum el-ta ha-ratzim, then they put them back into storage for the ratzim. Oh my God, props. It's mamish what it's described. Props. The man had to prop up his malchus with props. He had to prop up his own psychology with props. So much for his pinky. V'yeter divrei rechavam v'chol asher asah aloheim ha-ketuvim ha-sefer divrei ha-yamim l'malchei Yehuda. U'milchama ita ben rechavam v'mevein yiravam kol ha-yamim. All the years, there was always battles between them. So even though the Navi had said, don't make a civil war out of it, but there were always skirmishes. Vayishkav Rechavam im avotav, vayikaver im avotav be'ir David, v'shem imo na'ama ha'amonit, vayimloch aviyam beno tachtav. And so, as the Medrash puts it, this Mevinei Nechoshet is similar to the HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. There's two elements. This Kabbalistically is central to understanding the entire book. Malchus Yisrael is compared to the moon. That's why we say David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam. We talk about the restoration of the moon. So the way the Medrash puts it is, you know, Im Zachita, you'll be meina to the moon's waxing, not its waning. And you'll be meina, you'll be meisif, like 15, from Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yehuda, Peretz, Chetzron, Ram, Aminadav, Nachshon, Salmon, Boaz, Oved, Yishai, David, Shlomo. You get to the top. 15 15 days in the month, so to speak, in which now the moon is full. You have the full expression of Malchut. And then, Imlav, if you're not Zeche, you're going to be Maina to the Pagam of the Levant, in the waning of the moon. And that becomes, from here on, Rechavam you start. Meginei Azahav turn into Meginei Nechoshet. From there on, it's downhill all the way. So it's Rechavam, and Aviyah, and Asa, and Yoshafat, and Yoram, and Akazi, and Yoash, and Amatsya, Uziah, Yotam, Achaz, Chizkiyah, Menashe, Amon, Yoshio, and Tzidkiyah, they finally blind him completely. There's no light at all. And that's when the moon goes dark. So there's 15 days in the Malchus Yisrael, so to speak, connected that month going up and 15 days going down. Real is that remarkably, amazingly, one could say almost, we have the record of Shishak. And that record of Shishak, the record of Shishak in Luxor lists his battles, and it amazingly describes not only his battle against Rechavam and what it is that he took from what was left for Shlomo, it describes a continued, he went on from Yerushalayim and invaded Yerovam's territory. He destroyed Peniel, he destroyed all of the cities of the Malkut of Yisrael, which we're not even told about. All we're told about is that there was a rebellion, as we'll see, against Yerovam's clan. And it's very possible that the same Shishak that we talk about specifically in the irony of coming back as the paro that's going to take everything away from Shlomo and put everything back to the way it was, we don't even bother mentioning the impact that his invasion had on the Yisrael part of the equation. But the fact is, immediately following the Shalal of the Otzrot Beit Hashem and so on and so forth, was a massive attack against the Aseret HaShvatim too. It's very possible that the Merida against Yerovam came from his inability to protect them from Shishak as well. So it's not necessarily that we're given all of the information here. To find the historical connections that come from outside is beautiful.